As we left things off last week, as our series through the book of Daniel continues, King Nebuchadnezzar was having a tantrum because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to worship his giant golden statue that he had set up in the plain of Dura. The result of his tantrum, due to the three, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they drew their line in the sand. And remember, we draw the line in the sand first, and then things happen. We don't ask God to do things first, but rather God would rather see us draw that line in the sand, show him that faith. And so let's find out what happens. From Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 through 30, we read, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' 'Look,' he answered, 'I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.' Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there's no other God who can deliver like this.' Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." As we look at this event through the eyes of All Saints Sunday, we see important things that pertain to you and me this morning. See, the deeper you dive into the Bible, the more you begin to pick up on instances where individuals are more than individuals. They represent larger realities. One person stands for a whole group of people. This is called a corporate personality. For instance, Abraham embodied all of Israel. David, too, is a corporate personality for all his sons who will sit on the throne after him. And in the New Testament, Paul reflects this same all-in-one concept when he says that in Adam, all die, meaning squeezed into the first man was the whole human race. Well, the basic Bible lesson of a corporate personality is this. By looking at individuals, how they suffer, sin, or succeed, we're looking through a small one-person window into a grander many-people vista. Such is the case this morning with our three faithful friends. They represent the saints of God. One of the primary lessons we learn in this event is that God allows suffering for His glory. These three men suffered extreme persecution. From the time they got to Babylon, their life was always in danger from this crazy king. Can you imagine what they went through? The mental anguish, the pressure, and the anxiety leading up to that event? Why didn't God prevent things from going that far? One thought is this: He allowed it because through the fiery trials of life, God shapes and molds us into the people He wants us to be. Just as a blacksmith puts the tool he forges through intense heat so that the molecular structure of the steel becomes harder. They put it in the heat and then they dip it in cold water or oil. And then they put it back in the heat. They're changing the very structure of it. And that's how it is with God sometimes. The blacksmith puts it in to accomplish its task without so that the tool won't break down. And God puts His people into the heat to strengthen us in order to make us strong and sharp for the task in which He intends to use us. He uses fiery trials to shape us into tools that can help bring about His glory. The Matthew Henry commentary has this to say about such a process. Christ is the great refiner. He purges His people with fire, as gold and silver are purged. For He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire, with the Holy Ghost working like fire. He will purge them by afflictions and manifold temptations, that the trial of their faith may be found to praise and honor. He will purge them so as to make them a precious people to Himself. See, God had a purpose for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to enter that furnace. In fact, He was in there waiting for them. "Didn't we cast three into the fire?" Nebuchadnezzar said. "But I see four." You know, sometimes if you want to meet Jesus, sometimes if you want to get closer to Jesus, He's waiting for you in the fire, not in the comfort zone of a safe and tepid walk of faith. And let's focus in on the final verse of our passage today. What does it say? What does that final thing say? That final verse, it says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted in the kingdom. They went through the fire like a blacksmith's forged creation. They were changed men, like hardened steel, grounded in a deep faith, forged for God's purposes. They learned that God was with them even in the fire, and then He promoted them to positions where they could be an influence of faith over an entire nation. The saints of God go through fire for the purpose of His glory. Are you going through some fire today? Perhaps God's getting ready to promote you. Are you retired? No worries. God can promote you in His kingdom. He can promote you to a deeper walk and a greater witness that bears more fruit for Him. Well, what else does this passage reveal to the saints of God? It tells us that if God is for us, who can be against us? Nebuchadnezzar, who was used to having his will carried out, he would say something and it would be done. his whole kingdom, he ruled over it that way, imposing his will upon anyone and everyone. And he wanted to do the same to these three men. But he couldn't. He was powerless in imposing his will upon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because God had other plans for them. God's will for your life will always override any person or persons who try to impose a different will upon you. Nebuchadnezzar built the hottest fire he could build. He wanted to incinerate those who would not bow to his gods. I think it's funny, though, that some of his mighty men of valor were taken out. He got the opposite result of what he intended. He wanted to incinerate those who would not bow to his gods. He demanded that his will be carried out regarding these three men. But the fire could not touch them because Jesus was in the fire with them. Not only could the fire not touch their bodies, but as we read it, it could not touch their clothes or their possessions. The only thing that burned was the ropes that were tying them together as they were bound at their hands and feet. When they came out of the fire, they gave them the sniff test. They couldn't even smell any smoke on them. I remember when I would come home from Boy Scout camp, first thing my mother would say to me is, "Go take a shower." She'd smell smoke all over me. Didn't want that happening to her furniture. But when God is determined to carry out plans in your life, there's nothing that can keep his will from being fulfilled. There will be others who try to prevent that from happening. But when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Luther reminds us to pray that prayer, especially for our own life, that your will would be done in my life, Lord. God wants his will to be done in your life today. He's called you as his child. No one can snatch you from his hands. He's prepared a place for you. His promises towards you are sure. They are eternal. They are great and precious. And he will get his way with your life. And at this point in the sermon, the pastor says, "Can I get an amen?"
Amen.
Yes, they were delivered in a mighty and miraculous way. But what about those saints that we celebrate today who through the centuries did not receive such a miraculous deliverance? Christians who live today who are losing their life because of persecution. What about those saints who truly did die for their witness and their faith? God has not forgotten them. God has not failed them. They too bring glory to his name. Their suffering, their sacrifice bears much fruit in the kingdom as well. Just think of the original 12 disciples. The Apostle Paul included in the 12. Their ministries, their martyrdom, because they gave their life in the way they did, still bears fruit today. The church is still being built upon their work. And their work was founded in the work of Jesus Christ. When Christ gets on the inside of a person, they can begin displaying the characteristics of Christ. And the main characteristic of Christ is to love someone so much that you're even willing to die for them, if that's what it takes to get the gospel message out. And so on this All Saints Sunday, Revelation 6, 9 through 11 encourages us with these words. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those slaughtered because of God's word and the testimony they had. And they cried out with a loud voice, 'O Lord, holy and true, how long until you judge and avenge our blood from those who live on the earth?' So a white robe was given to each of them, And they were told to rest a little while longer, until the number of their fellow slaves and their brothers who were going to be killed just as they had been would be completed. There's a number of people in the human race that God has designed. Their lives are going to be given for the sake of the gospel, for God's glory. The white robes given to the martyrs in Revelation 6 no doubt symbolize that they were made white by the blood of the Lamb, and that those clothed in Christ's righteousness may wait in confident expectation that He will avenge their untimely deaths. When you think about it, in the light of eternity, for someone to give their life for the gospel in this finite world, it's just that much compared to eternity. And we'll see that in the end, even if we can't see it now. But in the meantime, you and I can be grateful and rejoice that God sent such people before us. People willing to die for their faith so that we too might hear the gospel passed down through them. We cannot see the entire picture of God's will and ways, especially in the dimness of this world. Sometimes we are challenged when we see things happen to God's people, and we feel like being Habakkuk, who climbed up in his tower and was just waiting to see if God was going to do something to the wicked. We can feel like that sometimes. However, we don't have to build a tower. We can rest assured that all those who die in Christ will indeed bring glory to His name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are you and me this morning. For we too find ourselves the recipients of a great deliverance brought about by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We cannot deliver ourselves from the grips of death. We were condemned to die, destined for flames, but God meets us in the fire. And there's nothing that can keep His love from reaching us, not even death itself. And in the end, we will pass the sniff test as well. There won't even be a hint of smoke on us. As Isaiah 43, 1 through 3 reminds us, "Now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob," see that, O Jacob, there's that corporate personality again, Jacob is you and me as well, "He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And we are His saints, purchased by Him, for Him, and for His glory, forever and ever. Amen."